The Bible says, instead of the epistle, is that they extend the Old Testament. Maybe there are teachings concerning that where we see that the epistles will now take, the writer of the epistles will now take characters from the Old Testament and would now use to teach the church of God. How many of us saw that? That teaching, Jesus in the seven churches, we have to look at that as a character of the epistle. Paul will use Rebecca, Sarah, Jacob and Esau, that's Romans 9. We'll use them, you know, as an example. Paul will use first in 1 Corinthians 10, he now use the congregation of Israel. You know, just to explain unbelief, moral disobedience, the work of the flesh. He also use number 17 and number 21. You know, James will use Abraham and Isaac to explain faith that works. That's the character of the person. That's a typical trait of the epistle, or the apostolic writings. Even Jesus, you know, in the book of Revelation, he will now mention Balaam. Who remembers Balaam, you know? He will now mention Balaam, Jezebel, you know? That is the character of the epistle. It can't be wrong for us to teach or to use Old Testament examples to teach the saints. So we have things to learn from the Old Testament. This is what I want to share on vital lessons in Christian living. That's what I'm talking about. No. Vital lessons. And our attitude towards the gospel. Our attitude towards the gospel. I'll be teaching from the book of Judges this evening. So you listen well. I titled it Lessons from Deborah's Song. Don't look for Sister Debbie. Lessons from Deborah's Song. She sang the song in the book of Judges. And so we will take cues from it. And we will go in an evangelistic approach. See what ought to be the attitude of the man who is giving himself to the service of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? Huh? Let me give you a background. Because the book of Judges. Let me give you a background. Israel had no king. Israel, 12 tribes, right? Right? It's Dan, the Asher, Reuben, no, the Levi, Issachar, no, just like that. They have quite a number of them. Benjamites, no. And so, they had no king, obviously. It was a rebellion that made them even ask for king. They now put Samuel. Later on that. If you want a king like every other nation, that was the best plan for Israel. The king of Israel ought to be the Messiah. I mean, that was the plan. That is, not that Jesus will not become king. What the world is going to ask is Israel has the church, right? Then the head will be Christ. But they wanted the physical king for themselves, like every other nation. And because they wanted the king, we now fought war. Well, that's what we're going to tonight. So they didn't have kings. But of course, like every other nation that does not have king, what do you think will happen? People will take advantage of them. Because you don't have a kingdom. That means there's no standard. All the while, Israel had people coming to cheat them and all. And so God will now raise judges. That makes sense. People who are skilled, people who are endowed, who now fight on behalf of the people. We had many of those. Samson was a judge. Ehud, if you have read your Bible before, you must have known about Ehud. He was left-handed. He did that. You know that. Ehud, he killed Eglon. Eglon was a fat man. He killed him such that the entire sword entered into Eglon. And he didn't see it from the back. He was that fat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ehud was a judge. Gideon was a judge. Othniel was a judge. Othniel was Caleb's brother. Hallelujah. Othniel was Caleb's brother. He had married Caleb's son, Caleb's daughter. Now, Deborah was also a judge. So I focus on Deborah tonight. Hallelujah. In a day, there was a Canaanite king called Jabin. Jabin. J-A-B-I-N. We are going to read the entire story. What happened is that Jabin, just like every other kingdom has cheated Israel, Jabin also wanted to take advantage. That makes sense? We had no king. The only person you can have is a judge. And once the judge dies, nothing again. They go back to their former ways. Till another problem arises, where they need a new judge. That makes sense.
That was the way Israel was living. And so Jabin came up and wanted to kill. So let's read the story. Judges chapter 5. Let's start in Judges chapter 4. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Now, Ehud was a Lebanese guy that killed Eglon. You know, Eglon was cheating Israel, of course, taking advantage of them. So, they could not even be, they didn't even have soldiers. Well, you know what Ehud did? They packaged the gifts and they said, they're going to give the king. And so, Ehud took it. He was left-handed. He hit the sword in his, I don't know, patch. You know, they didn't know it. And so, he brought the king, the gift to the king, and then he took something that is a special gift that everyone should tell someone to go out. So they went out, he left the door, pulled out the sword, crossed the king, went to the back way. They waited many hours for the king to say they should come in. By the time they come in, everyone was gone, then they defeated the people. That makes sense? And so when everyone was dead, I just give you where it is. That's true. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera. Sisera is a very mighty guy, you know, was the host of the Canaanite army. We dwelt in Ashereth of the Gentiles, Arosheth. And the king of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. So he had, Jabin had the tools, he had the And the bear of Aspo, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidot, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of the Deborah between Ramah. Remember Ramah? Between Ramah and Bethel, in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Verse 6. And she sent and called Barak the son of Abinoam out of Kadesh Naphtali and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded you, saying, go and draw towards Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men, the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. As God hath told you, to go and bring 10,000 men. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kish and Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariot and his mortar, and I will deliver him into your hand. That is, as God not told you this name, that I will deliver that Sisera, the chief host of the Canaanite king. I will deliver him to your hand. You follow? And Barak said unto her, if you will not go with me, I will not go. But if you go with me, I will go. If you will not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will go with you. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou take shall not be for your honor. But the Lord shall send Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went unto Barak to Kadesh. So, Deborah foresaw something that, see, you are not going to fight the war. The person that will kill that Sisera himself is a woman. You understand the story? Alright. This is the book of my story. Verse 10. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went with him. Now, Ever the Canaanite, which was of the children of Obab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenite and pitched his tent on the plain of Zanaim, which is Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mountain Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots. How many did, and all the people that were with him, and Asherah the Gentiles of the king of Kishon, last 14. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, but this is the day which the Lord shall deliver Sisera unto your hand. Is not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down from his chariot and what? You know, he's not saying well. That is saying that the person that beat me, he said it's not correct. He's not beating well. If they beat you, you are about to say the person that beat me, he said it's not correct. In your mouth is going to say, and so he ran away. This is how he has won many battles. Verse 16, the Barak pursuit. Now he's bold. You know, he didn't want to go. He was bold. The Barak pursued after the chariot and after the host, But for Asherah of the Gentiles and all the eight of Zerah fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. How did Sisera fled on his feet to the tent of Jahel, the wife of Abban the Canaanite? For there was peace between Jabin and those of Abba. That makes sense? So, there was peace between Jabin, the king of Dan, and the Abba guys. And so, Sisera went into the tent of Jahel, the wife of that Abba. And Jahel, which is the wife, which is the woman that Sisera is in her tent now, went to meet Sisera and said unto him, "Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not." And when he had turned into her tent, she covered him with a mantle and said unto her, he said, that's Sisera, "Give me, I pray, a little water to drink, and thirsty." And she opened a bottle of milk, not just even water, milk, thick milk, and gave him drink and covered him. And again he said unto her, "Stand in the door of your tent, and it shall be, when anybody asks of you, there's a man here, you shall say what? Huh? No." Then Jahel, Abba's wife, took a nail in the tent and took a hammer in his hand, and went swiftly to him and smote nail into his temples and you know the temple is? Abari Tempura. He smote. Imagine putting nail. That's not just clear. That's mother key. Alright? He smote the nail into his temples and passed it into the ground. And he was fast asleep and really, so he died. Did the brother's prophecy come to pass? That a woman will kill, right? Alright. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said, "Come, I will show you the man that is sick." And when he came to attend, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. So God subdued that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, developed children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they have destroyed the king of Canaan. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what happened. But the Bible is now going to give us a broader perspective of the 10,000 men that fought. Right? Remember, 10,000 men went with Barak. So, she wants to give us something. And that's what we call it the Deborah song. Song of over Jabin, the king of Canaan. How many? Chapter 5 verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak the son of Abinoam on that day, saying, "Praise the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." When the people willingly offered themselves. "Give us all ye kings and give you all ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." I remember Pastor Christopher Akileme using the song. "Give us all ye kings, give us all ye princes. I will sing praise unto the Lord. For the Lord our God, who me put and drain it." Have you heard that song before? You heard it before? Alright. So Lord went that way and said, so she gave a lot of things and she was recommending people. Deborah's song, listen well, was to acknowledge those who went to war. And also, to scrutinize the entire tribes and those who did not come. Remember she said, some people willingly offered themselves. But what happened to others? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what the Lord did was, she used her persuasive words to bring all the tribes together. Right? And so, talk to the head of the clan. Let's say Reuben, for the Reubenites. Talk to Reuben. Send a letter to Reuben. Reuben will gather his own people. Send a letter to Asher, the tribe of Asher. Gather his own people. Like that. That's what the Lord did. She was not a warrior. Right? Or like Samson. Samson would have led them to the war. Just Samson. What is Samson doing? He doesn't really search to kill Sisera. You have to kill Samson. There's Delilah. Alright. So, but Deborah could not do that. She could not get herself in a hammer like a man. But she now used her persuasive words to gather everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So each tribe received Deborah's call. Some came and some refused. What you observe about this story is as though it is a mirror face down to the church, to the face of the church today. I reading it, I could see the reflection of the church. You understand what I'm saying? Reflection. I could see it clearly. After their victory. So Deborah now scrutinized Israel and sang the song. As scrutiny is part of music. In verse 14, out of Ephraim, there was a root of them against Amalek, Atadib, Benjamin, among the people, out of Matah came down governors, and out of Zebulun, they that under the pen of the writer. That's what it says, and the princes of Issachar, they are what? They are on the blood side. Even Issachar, and also Barak, of course Barak was on a lot, and he was sent out of foot in the valley, for the divisions of Reuben, they were great stock of the earth. Why are brothers down among the sheepfolds to hear the business of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of the earth. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in the beaches. Zebulun and Naphtali were the people that jeopardized their lives unto death in the high place of the field. And we know that from Peter says, "Curse you, Moses," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse you bitterly, the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." Hallelujah. That's 17. Very important question. Why did Dan remain in ships? The Boaz sent out letters. "Come and fight. We are facing Jabin. This is someone that has ruled them for 20 years. 20 years he has been extorting them. 20 years he has been maltreating them. And then they receive the call. And this is what the boy has to say. Probably I can envisage the messenger giving it to the man. And then say, and after the victory, the boy has to say, "Oh, we have won, quite all right. But why did Dan remain on the ships?" The Danites historically were merchants. They are merchants. But all they do is they import, importer, exporter. Is that? So they import goods on ships, then give us to the public, but because of work pressure, they could not even transfer. People are too much. So what they now did was that they now turn the ships to shops. That makes sense. Huh? They could not be taking this public again. People are too much. The import time of taking, so they are now sending directly from the export, from the importer to the public. That makes sense. So their ships that they were to bring were their shops. So, if you put, why did Daniel remain in his ship shops? Hallelujah. Vital question. I did a whole lot of imagination reading this. Because the Boaz sent a message, right? A messenger. It's like, I can imagine the messenger. And he gives it to Dan. And then says, Jabin! And he sees the pain in the land. He sees the people going through suffering. And he says, we are going to fight. And he steps down from the ship. And he looks at the ship. He says, but what will happen to my ships? What will happen? What if I go and my ships just sink? It's not good for business. It's still risky for business. In Igbo. In Igbo. You know Igbo. Is that Odikwa too risky? No, that is it. Tell Deborah. I can feel the pain. It's too risky for business. The demonized food are our customers. I must maintain a neutral ground. I can't be fighting them. Who will not buy? When the war is now over, who will not buy? Dan remain in his ships. So the Boaz song was, why did Dan remain in his ships? Why? I can imagine Dan giving the messenger money. Thanks to him and say, the issue is that I will not be able to go, but it's my contribution for the war. Tell the Boaz, I'm retired in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dan lived for his business. I'm busy. I can't go. Who will count the cash? Who will sell the goods? And we have many like that in the church today. The Christian who cares more about his business, who cares more about his material possessions than what the Lord is doing. You rather stay in a ship that seeks the kingdom of God. As I said earlier, this is like a mirror face down to the church. Because I can clearly see different kind of Christians in this Deborah song. Why did Dan remain in the ships? He didn't seek first the kingdom of God. This was, he's seeking every other ship. Not every other thing to follow, every other ship to follow. That's what he's seeking first. Dan is the kind of person that will come to service. And we are, I just set aside cares of this world. And after the service, he picks back the cares of this world. So, I just set this aside for that time. Now they are mine. They are all for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pick them up at service. Christians with the wrong priorities. Why did Dan remain in the ships? Wrong priorities. Hey, we are going for our church. He said, I want to go. But that is business time. That's business time. My customers come around that fair. So we remain in a shop. It's more than shop. It goes far beyond. We talk about our priorities, prioritizing material things. Career, master, slavery, PhD, only over the kingdom of God. Dan had an excuse. But you know, excuses don't win wars. You can't win a war with an excuse. You don't lose, excuses cannot win souls. My parable tonight is actually that the war against Jabin is the winning of souls. Because that has to do with lives of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. To see that the winning of souls. And see the Boaz letter to cry. And that ministry of reconciliation we have. That call of God to reach out. That call of God to win souls. To snatch men from the grip of the devil. But Dan remained in the ships. He heard the call. But he said, no, my money will go for me. I know what I've been saying before. If you can't go, let your money go. Which money? Money don't win souls. The message does. There's a path your money can play. But it cannot win souls. Your money will go and you will also go. Dan was wrong. Many Christians have chosen to be Danites of the ship shops. They let others follow Christ. But they stay with the things of this world. Say, I know with my money, Barak would do well. With my money, you know, with my money, Barak and his armies. No, I trust them. But you stay with this world. Some Christians maintain a double-faced allegiance. The unbelievers in my workplace now see. I can't be preaching at work. They will not be telling me just again. Dan night. Hallelujah. You know, but one day, all the treasures of Dan will turn to his challenges. All his treasures. Because nothing in this world, nothing will not pass away. There's no, everything will pass away. Your money, your car, if you like, let it depower us power. I don't know, whatever. Let it have a thing here. Let it have TV inside. Bridge should be inside. Swimming pool should be inside your car. Swimming pool. One day, it will pass away. Why did Dan remain in the ships? Hallelujah. Look at yourself. You're doing a whole lot of reflections tonight. Is my business quite more important to me than the winning of souls, than the call of God upon my life? Have I turned to be like Dan and remain in ships? Ask yourself. The second set of people, verse 15. Listen to Danite. I'm coming back very well here. The second set of people, and the princes of Issachar, verse 15, were with Deborah, even Issachar, also Bar. And he was sent on foot to the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of the earth. Why are you abiding among the sheepfolds? To hear the beatings of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of the earth. The Reubenites. There were great thoughts of the earth. They got the message. I love the last song. This guy's full of irony. But there were great thoughts of the earth. You see what she's talking about. They got the letter, the Reubenites. But they are intellectual folks. They think things through. You know, you don't just rush into things. Those are Reubenites. Analyzers. They had great searchings. Yes, they got the letter just like Danites would get. They got the letter too. And guess what? Who then did? Call these folks. There's a meeting. No, they are very organized people. There's a meeting. So, I got this letter from Deborah. It's quite urgent. Urgent, and you are calling the meeting the next day. Urgent. So, how do we plan? We can't just rush into war. You know, in digital marketing. We're going to take a long a coffee break to think about Deborah's letter. You know, we should come up with a master plan. Deliverance is here. Deliverance is here. Glory. Glory. Great searches. Later on, in my mind, the Reubenites agree. Okay, we are going to war. No, we are going to war. But there was one more thing. There was a problem. Deborah. Deborah was a problem. A woman. How can a woman be leading us to war? Where is it in the Bible? Where is it that a woman is pastoring a church? The Reubenites, they are great thinkers. They think beyond the way God has them to. They're the people that search everything through. They analyze everything. They are the thoughtful types. They consider everything. Keen thinkers. You know? The Deborah now stood between them and their action. The female judge. Give it a thought. You know, that's the way you don't like to talk. Give it a thought now. Give it a thought. The Deborah calls it great searches of the earth. Divisions of the earth. The hearts are divided. It's the second kind of Christians you see. Divided hearts. We think too much. Jesus just said, go. He didn't say, think about it. He says, go. And the Reubenites standing familiar in the church today? Very well. I don't like the way things are being done in this church. I like the entire message. One day do like that. Your message is cool. The lady is not already. Signal. Caution. No like yellow and black. Caution. The message is cool. Cool, I say. But I observed overnight. I observed that we don't praise God enough. Are you God? Did he tell you that? Shout hallelujah! That's not enough for my God. Are you? When did he tell you that is not enough for me? Young people are meant to be stoned. That's not enough for my God. When did he message you that what we just did is not enough? It's enough, yeah. But that, I like the message. Realize, great thinkers. I observe that we don't praise God enough. We just pray. Anybody can pray. I'll send you the brass letter for prayer vigil. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't like the way things are done. That pastor is too old. You know, in a generation like this, you're talking. See, his message is not for this generation. So, which Jesus says, people that are dead. That pastor is too young. He's too young. What did I tell him about my marriage? We were like great thinkers. Divisions of the heart. Great searchers of the heart. They are not designers. Dan is not even me. He's still in the ships. You can't money. Envelope. Danite. Envelopes. So, for the work. You have to do the work. You. Dan, after the work. Great searches of the earth. He's too young, he's too old, he's too... They have an excuse for everything. Because they think things. They are so objective. And you don't have to tell you, out at 4 p.m. In marketing. You know, I'm not trying to be carnal. In marketing, the time where people listen more. Listen is in the morning. It's in the morning. Close to again. Shut up. Reuben, shut up. Please. Your silence. You know, that is, it's better to keep people in doubt than you open your mouth and remove every doubt that you're a fool. Hallelujah. Now, if you keep silence, you are still doubting. Is he a fool? Is he not a fool? Is he wise? But so, like, everyone open their mouth and say, confirm. Finish. No tell you. It's a CA plus confirmed. FLSH confirmed. Hallelujah. Reubenites. Analyzing. Why are we going to the streets? We are in a digital age. or the radio. You just have a website. If you have a website, you can have podcasts. You can even make it live. Don't you make it live? We just listen live. Instead of going to the streets, even if you are going to go to the streets, you can't go in jeeps. If you go in jeep, people will see us as more classy and they will listen more. Shut up! We are Christians like that too. Okay, you say, you know, that's for them. Going on all these streets, door to door. Say, now, what do we do? So post it on social media. Great searches of there. It's an irony. Hallelujah. Reverend. They make fine speeches. Fine speeches. But they are absent where the soul is won. They are absent on the battlefield. But their speeches, you will like it. You will like it. Precious people continue to die in their sins. Why you give a thousand of excuses why you are not involved? So, the reason why I'm not involved yet is because you are a Reubenite. They have an excuse. They see the reason. They see the need for it. But they come up with an excuse. They go and close it. Ironically, great searches of the earth. So, why are you remaining among the sheepfolds? You hear the beating of the fall? You don't get that. You say, Reuben, come, calm down. Why did you go to the sheepfold? Are you thinking there are no slots in the sheepfold? That means you are seeing the need for this. Yet you held back. There are many Christians in this issue. The issue is not their own business. The issue is their heart. Their heart is divided. We can't really say they are totally for the Lord. We don't have to tell, this congregation, I don't know, it's a young congregation. Have you even asked what they are doing there? I don't know if Pastor Christian can say it one time. When someone said, you could not come for WCC, the prayer meeting at the end of the year. You know, because I think the people there are much young people. Have you cared to ask what they are doing there? Don't ask. Yes. The issue is about the demography. The issue is about what is being done. You know, that church, I don't know, is more young, I can't stay. I'm older. I'm more educated. Add to your list, you are also Kana. Add to that. You add it to your CV. You can say your CV, expertise, to carnality. Hallelujah. Or you are a Reubenite. Hallelujah. They are absent. They see the need. They see the reason why you should be there. But they are not there. They have an excuse for it. Remember verse 23. It says, Cause you bitterly, the inhabitants there, because you came not to the help of the Lord. He says, you are cursed. Strong word. Strong words. Cause you Reuben. I thought Jacob had already cursed him once before. No, Jacob had already cursed Reuben. Eh? Then he slept with his father's wife. And that cursed again. What is Reuben? I mean, yeah. The third set of people, they are the Asher tribe. Verse 17. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in his ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breaches. I can envisage the bearer's dispatch reaching Asher. And then he comes back to the bearer. And then he says, Asher, where are the men? And the servant says, Asher remained at the seashore. That was what the messenger could tell Deborah. The guy said, Dan remained in his ships. Asher too. He remained in his ships on the seashore. Vacation. Relaxing. That's Asher. His own is not business. His own is not great sources of the earth. His own is Lucky Conservation Center. Asher. Banana Island. Asher. Elebushi Beach. So, Asher will take selfie. The glory of the world is my spirit. On the beach. The glory of the world is my spirit. Asher! Remain at the seashore. Are you learning something? Asher continued on vacation. That's what the servant is saying. The Lord needs you to preach. Asher said, I've been walking around. This is my leave. This is my leave. I have just, how long does leave? You know, 20 days. How about you? 2 weeks. How about you? No leave. You are the leave. I just want to ask you that. I haven't moved if you have. 1 month, you deserve it. Even that 3 months. This leap
is for actually legal.
After all, you know, Asha believes that the work of ministry is for those who jobs. That's Asha.
That means
people that are waiting for jam now, waiting results. Those ones can preach. We have business. Asha remained on vacation. Asha believes that the job of the church duties are for those who have nothing else to do. I can then he says the servant reaching Asha and he says, tell Deborah that I believe in her. If there's something I do in my life, I believe in Deborah. I love and believe in you. All you do. I'm your number one fan. I trust the Lord will deliver Jabin into your hands. Sincera, where are Miss Sincera? Miss Jabin. Miss Jabin. Look at the voice of Asha. Any woman do. Asha. Swift tongue. The Lord deliver Jabin. Surely today I say, the zeal of the Lord will bring it to pass. The Lord will deliver Jabin into your hands. But tell Deborah. I will not be able to make it there. I'm very sure plenty of us will turn up. That's Asha. Tell us to turn up. And then he takes his sip on his cold drink again. So, others will turn up. I'm sure. The glory of the Lord fills the land. That is Asha. So believers are like Asha. He said, I'm taking a month's honeymoon. Kimonji, what are you doing exactly? You guys won't see each other forever. I mean, you saw each other before getting married. You will live forever. Why are you going for a month? He did it. So just to take a break off everything and off God too. But demons are with you. I can go there and show you that. Legions. They will see the drink you are sleeping. Never despise the work of ministry. Asha! You say, I trust Deborah. I trust the marvelous Deborah. Oh wow. How did you even come up with this kind of thoughts? Yeah, this is beautiful, beautiful. But you remain at the seashore. In his beaches. Enjoying life. Asha will eventually die of stroke. Obesity, remember? Obesity, yeah? You will blow a die rest. The true rest is in Christ. And in doing what he has called you to do. That's when you can find the true rest. Christians are like Asha. Some Christians. They believe someone else will get the job done. But some people who are Christians, all they need is relaxation. Ministry every time. Ministry every time. This pastor, I don't understand. When they called me to this church, when I was called to this church, well, actually, I will speak good English. When I was called to this church, I was told it's just the word and the spirit. What do you want to think you are doing? The demon thing I wrote you. Yeah. I was told it's just the word and the spirit. I understand. And confess it to me. Asha, I don't know. Any public holiday you fix it. Teaching meeting you fix. I need my rest. I work all week. I work in the morning. Hallelujah. Asha, that day always be a meeting. If it's not prayer meeting, you follow up. If it's not follow up, you don't follow down. Follow through. If you don't follow in and out. Rest is important. But Asha, hallelujah. Is this your attitude towards the work of God? Tell us that our lessons from the blessing. Very eating. We have a lot to learn. What's your attitude towards the work of God? What's your attitude? Is it that of the Danites? We will never do anything for his business. But watch the work of God go undone. He thinks his money can buy souls. Or the Reubenites. Oh, no. Do you think there's a villages on social media? Only about 12% of Nigerians. Or the 16, use social media actively. WhatsApp is not social media. WhatsApp is just. What do I call it now? Instant messaging platform. Social media is where you get gist. You didn't get gist on WhatsApp. Except the ones that the other sends you. Or your mom, busy. Hallelujah. Your mom sends you busy. So don't sleep with your phone at night. Why should I not keep my phone? In the bedroom. They say there's something tonight. Mom, I'm going to sit down. Reubenites, they think everything. What about social media? What about TV ministry? What if there's no light? People will not yet go to work. I just said if there's no electricity because of Nigeria. If you listen to me, I'm not from Nigeria and you don't have electricity for power. Don't bother about your things. It's a mystery. Hallelujah. A mystery. You can't get that at you. No matter how you explain. like the time when things are just dark. Hallelujah. What is the electrical power supply? That means the gospel being that. You eat the shoots. No excuses. Or are you like Asha? Self-centered. Rather than give for the work, you first buy that clothes. It's not just about relaxing. It's about actually his attitude of being self-centered. All he cares about is himself first. When Jesus actually said, deny yourself. Jesus' words are, he who will follow me will hate his father. That word is preference, right? He will hate his father, mother, and his own life. What is his father? He will prefer me before himself. Those are the words of Jesus. That's the cost of discipleship. That's the cost of getting the world covered with the glory of the Lord. Knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You hate yourself. Asher did not follow the Lord. The last set of people are the people I want to be like all my life. And I'll be like them all my life. Judges 5:18. Can we read 18 together? Where to go? Zebulun and Naphtali. While people jeopardized their lives unto death in the high places of the field, hallelujah, they laid down their lives. Not every Christian is a Dan or an Asher or a Reuben. Some of them are Zebulun, Naphtali. People who did their everything for the sake of the work. They jeopardized, that says they jeopardized their lives to the point of death. They also had families. I can imagine when the dispatch, the Deborah's dispatch, got to them. And he handed them over the letter. Zebulun said, praise the Lord. The Lord has finally anointed someone to lead us. Yes! Let's go! Tell Deborah we are coming now. These are the Zebuluns. They are the people who beat their wives goodbye. Kiss their children. And say, in life or death, whether we see or not, the work of the Lord must be done. I remember meeting a missionary one time, through Capital Ministries. Capital is a mission, agency, Calvary. And he was telling us how that when the Lord called him to North Africa, Northern Africa, he's a Nigerian, but he's on mission to Northern African state. You have to go and learn languages. You have to go and learn languages afresh. So I could preach to them. Learn French, learn some. Because Morocco speaks French. Some other nations. Learn French, learn some Arabic. So that I could preach the gospel. I was shedding tears. 2014. I was shedding tears as he was in. He said he suddenly sees his wife and children. No, they're doing fine. Checks up on them, they write themselves letters. And he saw some amazing account of them. But what caught me that day, Yaba, around close to Unilag side, was what he said, there are quite a number of things that have happened, but the work of the Lord must be done. How? I checked myself. How true am I to this gospel? See, you know, see, with all the storms of life and everything, he said, but the work of the Lord must be done. Wow. These are our heroes. Those are the heroes of Christianity. Not some someone who just sits in one cathedral contemplating tight. These are the true heroes. They are the ones that stood with Barak and Deborah. The Zebulun. The Naphtali. They are families too. They are families. But they jeopardize that. Who are you? Who are you? A question you must ask yourself. No, I'm not Danny. My name is Dara. I'm not working. I'm not with Dana. I'm not Zebulun. My name is Shola. Ask yourself, why are you? You know, Deborah asked Dan that question. Why did Dan remain in ships? You know, that question will be heard again someday in the throne of God. And the Lord Jesus will ask you, why did Dan remain in ships? Well, every one of us will give account of our lives. Every one of us. Me, you, they, us. Everyone, you. You listen to me, you give account. And these questions will come again. Why did Dan remain in ships? Will Dan look at the Lord? Or will he be too ashamed? Too ashamed. Because right there at that show, we will see Zebulun. Who jeopardized his life? Fighting Sisera. Which people I was reading of David Livingstone. When I was reading God's Generals, the series. David Livingstone, who brought the gospel to Africa. One of the first people who brought the gospel to Africa. And a lion attacked him. The lion, he lost his limb, and I think he had a limb length discrepancy because of that or something, or even amputated. He was amputated. The lion attacked, and it is the next day. Oh, we could have the FQI later. These ones are not, well, Africa was not involved at all. But these men stood. Many whites lost their lives to malaria. They didn't know that the mosquito they have is learning. He's learning job. These ones are, youth club, they are dancing around the club. They dance around the chair. And the first to see, they are sitting on your club. Most of them died of malaria. Things that will not have happened to them in their comfort. Like Christian said, I'm going to be a missionary to New York. Shut up. Toronto. Missionary to Toronto. Go tell the new missionary. Are they asking for it? There are villages in these locals. Ibadan there. Ogun State there. Northern Nigeria. Kaduna, Sokoto, Maiduguri, Borno, Kebbi, Eastern Nigeria, South. Cover the earth in your nation. Hallelujah. It jeopardized their lives. What will you tell the Lord? Zebulun and Naphtali, they might not have that act of business. Most of them are not going to have up to his material possession. But they were faithful servants of the Lord. They risked their lives. What do you risk for the gospel? What can you point to? I sacrifice this for the gospel. If not for the gospel, probably I would have been walking in so. If not for the gospel, probably I have been doing so. If not for the gospel, probably I would be living in so. What did you sacrifice? What have you sacrificed? You have any sacrifice at all? What have you sacrificed for the Lord? Zebulun risked his life. Dan might be rich. He might die rich. But he will die miserable and rewardless. He will die miserable and rewardless. Dan lived for gold, not for God. You hear that? Live for gold, not for God. What are you living for? Again, why men slept? The devil might have replaced God with gold. He just will have hell now. It doesn't change anything. That's it. I just want to have the money so that the gospel can be propounded. I'll see first God ministry. But I just want to face my business. So I have money I would have to give to the gospel. He's just a man that cares about the world. Jesus is worth for the church. So all of us is still seek you first the kingdom of God. First. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Why did Dan remain in the ships? Why? 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 These are questions we ask ourselves. What are the priorities? How do I reason things out? Is my business more important? Is pleasure more important? Like Asha. Asha remained in Banana Island. So I'm mixing contemporary with everything. Like I just understand. Asha remained on the Asha work. You tell Asha that his work is sleeping. So if you are not sleeping over, what's Asha out? If you are not sleeping over, because I know there are no matrices. Most like we see for maths. I can't sleep on maths. I can't leave my bed at home and I'm sleeping on maths. I can go home. I'll come early in the morning. When are we starting? When I'm starting? 6 a.m. I'll be there. I'll be here. It's like, let me just go home. Asha doesn't want to sleep on maths. Asha will say, can I sleep in my car? Yes, can I sleep in my car? Can I permit you to sleep in my car? No, Asha. You sleep on the mat with everybody. Hallelujah. You sleep on the mat. So I can own the AC. There's no AC in those rooms. Asha, which AC? No true follower of Jesus put comfort first. If there's comfort, it's a bonus. He didn't promise us comfort. What he promised us is that when earth will be filled with the knowledge of his glory, he promised us comfort. If comfort comes, good. If comfort does not come, the work has to be done. You don't put comfort first. So, retreat now. Are you saying that we just pray for 19 and break it? We break it. We first pray two. The two will single. You can say, Adonai, we worship you. So now there's another one. Asha comes to service. Can we accordion in the sense, I like accordion. The life is not in accord. I like hearing accordion. Where do you think you are? It's my father's house. It's my father's house. I shall want comfort. You want pleasure. So, your church, but I like your church, but there's no AC. AC called DC. Which AC are you looking for? Learn the word and go. If you see AC, bonus. No true follower of Jesus puts comfort first. And so we learn from the Deborah's song. Hallelujah. Look at the way Jesus puts it. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. I wait to God that many people hear this kind of teaching. Know who you are and what you are doing for the Lord. The truth is the Lord sees those who are serving him. Luke 14 verse 16. Read the parable. We read together from 16 to 24. I said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and set his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come for all things. This appears as though I can tell you that, you know, because every parable of Jesus, that's only from the Old Testament. That is an explanation of things in the Old Testament. Every word of Jesus is an explanation of something from the Old Testament. I believe that this book 14 has something to do with the Bible. I don't know. There's no opening. And I'm not a theologian. So God, let's just leave that. And also it says, and the baby come for all things are now ready. That's 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Now this is just talking. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground. I must need and go and see it. Please excuse me. I just got a land in Banana Island. No. Pastor. No. How can you tell me that I'm a missionary? No. The Lord did not tell me. I sense the Lord telling me that I should go and do missions. The mission doesn't mean you stay there permanently sometimes. Sometimes you just go for a month, 2 months. And just as you preach the gospel, get people saved, get people filled, get someone who you train in that time, and you continue to monitor. To stay over there. And you have planted something somewhere. You don't even have to be called glorious as such. If I don't call you, just go for the Lord. That's what the Lord is telling me about. You know that I really want to go. But my new mansion, Pastor, have you come to see? I won't come. I will never come. If you see me there, shoot me. Come and see. You see my bedroom? I haven't got my way. Let's see your bedroom. All I want to see your bedroom. For the peace of this world. I just got to land. I can't come to your feasts. And then I said, verse 19, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Does this sound like that? And I go to prove them. I pray that you have me excused. Business. No. Adequa risky. Like he said. I can't come. Because there's no way I can make it there. I have 5 yoke of oxen to understand. That's why I don't want to come, but there's a business meeting. There's a meeting, you know, where they teach something done. I understand that the workers retreat. We're taking 4 days. The issue is actually that I have to be in to Canada. GMT, don't tell me the GMT. If you say GMT again, I could bring down on this church. The GMT plus, I have to be there so that we can say some things. I'm sorry, I really want to make it. You don't want to make it there. Don't lie. You are going to fix that meeting. In the corner of your room, you look at the calendar and you're going to work that meeting likely for. I have to be for 2 weeks. You're a liar. Done. Hallelujah. No, you're done with this. I have oxen. Verse 20. Another said what? Let's use it. And another said, I have married a wife. Yeah, I cannot. Honeymoon. So why are you not walking there? First of all, you have the honeymoon fell to the people. What concern with your honeymoon? If your marriage is on a Saturday, you still go for outreach. You have an amen? You have an amen? Do it on Saturday like this. As I think it's in the morning, finish this. You have to tell your guests that you can be there. Once it's 4 o'clock, outreach time. You can do outreach there. Your second speaker. Second speaker is the 15. Hallelujah. Let's plan your honeymoon. Monday. Thursday morning. Thursday evening, go for service. Or Sunday afternoon, put the fly. Arrive whenever you arrive. Come on. Except you are giving otherwise. that you make that an excuse. And then your pastor will tell you, well, take 2 weeks. But what you, a true disciple.
So you know that I'm 2 weeks, that.
I'm generous if I say 2 weeks. That means even more thing. I'm thinking I'm a true disciple of Christ. A true disciple will say, ah, 2 weeks, pastor, that's too much. Ah, what are we doing exactly?
I'm not giving, if you see, if you think I'm against things, you can take it for my word. You can take it anything. Assume anything you want to assume in your heart. So I don't let me hear. If I hear, I will talk to you.
That's what they know. What you want to be doing that you can't do in your house? And we can't be seeing your service. When you travel, when will you be back? When will you be back? Oh, what happens to your disciples? You tell them you want an animal? How does that sound to you? Those are perishing. And the Lord asks you, what are you doing?
Lord, don't.
I would have just slapped.
You shut up. Because your blood, your sense is not washed.
Then I just got married.
You know, nah. We have to know ourselves. You didn't know yourself before. You married a stranger. It was a wedding the first time you saw her. Did they plan her for you? Or did you just subscribe to that data plan on a wedding day? They just give you. So this is your wife. He said, hey, I didn't know it was yours. And what are you not knowing yourself to? What's on you as you move? So just marry. I can't come to your face.
Legitimate excuses. But the Lord is coming now. Come to me.
If you think your pastor is wicked, look at Jesus. See what he just said. Remember that one that he said, that one came to him and said, can I go and bury my father first? He said, no. You can't go.
Well, he will put his hand on the floor and looks back. He's not fit.
Ah. Yeah, what kind of wicked? His father just died.
He said, I don't know about that. The issue was, can I go and bury my father first? That first is the issue. You don't put anything before him. He is the Lord. You don't put anything before him. Jesus says, come to me now. Now.
There's a cost. That cost could be a piece of land. That cost could be a marriage. Your honeymoon could be a business. It could be that deal. That contract that you just needed you to sign at 4 p.m. on Saturday evening. I remember Brojola that year. Yeah, had a job interview. They asked him to come, and that was the last part of the interview. Just to meet the CEO of the bank, and then, the CEO now? The CEO of the bank, and that's the job. And he said, Pastor, I'm not going. I like to go back. I said, you go. Now, that is the way it should be. You know what I'm saying? I didn't tell you. He believes that you should be able to reason with it now when you hear it now. I went for it. Would you have told me what to do? The issue is not in that food not evil. The issue was your heart. What did you put first? He was here. He came first. All our retreat. He came first. That is it. First. I said, he's not going. What will I tell your mommy? After I explained to Yashola, he said, Pastor, I heard you are going, but you know. I'm not the one. And I was not searching for a job. You think I was only looking for a job?
First. Jesus first. The gospel first. The gospel first. Jesus first. His work first. His message first. The war against the Sarah first.
Before the ships. Before the shore. Before the vacation. Before the thinking. Then you obey Jesus before thinking about it. You know what I mean? There's a cost to discipleship. In Matthew 10 verse 39, Jesus says, he that loses his life shall what? Shall find it. He says, he that finds his life shall lose it. Dan was finding his life. Asha was finding his life. Let me relax. He will lose it. That I said, he will die of obesity. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you look at yourself. Judge yourself. The Lord himself sees our service to him. That's even an open itself. That Jesus sees everything I'm doing. Every step. Every decision I made. This is it all. And the one they have, why did I remain in the ships? Where were you? Honeymoon? Most of the excuses will even look foolish. Because I've seen someone preaching the gospel with a sling, jungle sling, bandaged, and in a, I've forgotten that thing again, what's it called? A plaster kit. And sling, bandage. And sling, like this, around the neck.
and he was preaching. Apparently, he just had an accident on a house. He had an accident about maybe 3 days. I said, I was not preaching when he did. He asked them how many days I was unconscious. They said 2 days. So two. You mean I didn't preach for 2 days? Then you will stand with the same person and say you won't pray anymore. You can start judging yourself from the heart. From that moment, you don't even need to be in the throne of God. Let's condemn yourself now. You say with prayer, when this is life, it's to history and that he was beheaded. Paul the apostle. He didn't die sleeping on bed. He was beheaded for the gospel. And you know what he said before that? He said, this is my joy. He said, Agrippa, I'm a happy man. Yeah, I'm a happy man. I wish you gave me my shoes. Wow. This is the art to be happy. He knew he was going to be beheaded. And I'm so happy. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is it. That's a man. Oh God. Paul was the one who told the church in Philippi. He said, to live is Christ. To die is good. And he said, if I'm going to live at all, I'm ready to go, but because of you guys, to teach you more, I'll speak. His entire life is around the gospel. I'll share more on that tomorrow morning. What is your life about? No, Jesus talked to the church in Syria. That's an open itself in Revelation 2:10. In Revelation 2:10. Thank you, Jesus. It says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prisons, that you may be tried. And you have tribulations 10 days. But be faithful unto death. Strong words. So Jesus knows that this can even cost death. Say, but be faithful unto death. For what? And I what? I will give you a kind of life. This is not every believer. This is for the one who pays the price. To some people, it's not death. It's just that consecration, that determination of that nothing takes the place of Christ. How are you living your life? A Dan, a Reuben, is an Asher, or a Zebulun, or a Barak. You lead the flock. You lead the battle. And Deborah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Why are you writing this? Actually cried. No. Not you want to cry. The tears dropped. The tears dropped. See, my mother was writing. Because I know one day we will see him, and there's no labor that will go again. That made me so emotional. No, I'm not emotional about things like this get to me. When you read about Paul, you knew that he was going to be there, and he says, nice. You know, you are seeing where they will come here, and you say, wow, set it like this. Peter! He said, the issue is not like you crucify me. No, that's not the issue. The issue is, please, I have one thing. Crucify me upside down. You know, don't crucify me like Jesus. No. It doesn't make sense. Who am I? Crucify me, but I'm sure you crucify me, please. But I'm sure it's upside down. And I read historically about, you may have to make a reduction, but she says, all those apostles, some were thrown into, the oil. James, the last brother, was dragged by us till he died. He died to us, and the rest was running. Not eating anything. You weren't eating anything. Some were thrown from the cliff. I don't know who was. But he was taken to the same cliff where Jesus was tempted. And he was pushed down. They died different ways. These are the true heroes. Zebulun jeopardized his life to the point of death. Hallelujah. What a glorious day to be. But all that we have is what he had in the ships. We don't really have excuses while the Lord rewards others. His only reward will be his excuse. Asher's realization will be turned around. Because on that day we know what true rest means. True rest is to do the work of the Lord. How are you serving the Lord? The work of the kingdom needs your hands. Hallelujah. Needs your hands. Needs your hearts. Needs your hearts. Are you going to cut the words? Or are you going to give an excuse? I'm asking you tonight, directly. Are you going to come out the way? You have a long way to go. In reaching the nations of the earth. You have 10 years, 20, 30. And still it's 50, 60 years. have a long way to go. Will you be in workers meeting 2055? Asking you, please remind me if you're here. The truth, I always see this paper. I asked workers meeting 2019. Will you be here in 2055? I'll be here in 2055. Ask me. Mind me. I'm asking you. Or will you be a Reuben and you'll have given one excuse? And you'll have talked, the Lord needs you. Join the soldiers. The Lord is with us. You know, the fact that Dan did not show up, Reuben did not show up, Asher did not show up. You know, they still won the war. You know, they still won. It was still a victory song. If you don't do it, people will do it. People will do it. If you don't come, people will come. Jesus' disciples left all they were doing and they followed him. So just to eat this, follow me. I will make, how can I say follow me? They left all they were doing. That is the same voice to us today. Follow me. Are you still following Jesus? I recall the story by Reverend N.D. Samuel. I heard the story as a little child. I heard it all consistently throughout. That was the church I went to preach in about on the other time. That's the General Vassava Church. Secondly, church in South Africa, Nigeria. You know, I think in 1971, thereabout, we went to preach somewhere in Badagry, 1971 or 72, and they lost 17 lives on the boat. I mean, why going? What is the best time to come back? Oh, I just come back. Let's even mourn this week. 17 lives, they buried them, and they said, we are still going to preach. We're fine, we are late. Hearing that story every time brings tears to my eyes. To see what men have done for the gospel. To see what men have done for the gospel. What men are still doing today. A PhD holder who is now in a village teaching kids and preaching the gospel. That beats any achievement you have in natural. There's nothing you want to achieve in natural that will surprise me. Doesn't move me. Make all the money in the world. And that is your money. What are you doing for the gospel? The people I respect are the people who go, they have everything natural, the accomplishment. Yes, you know, we know, because they will serve the Lord and they have nothing. The craft has done. The craft has done. I'll teach on that tomorrow morning. I'm mixing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were brought to the story also. One time they went to South Africa and two of his members died in a fire, in a truck explosion. So the technical team members. Why going again? And then the people are saying, there's sin in this team. There's sin. There's no sin. Look at the Reubenites. You've analyzed it. Why can that happen? I mean, there's sin. Was there sin when Paul was found in the prison with Silas? No. See, in death or life, Jesus is glorified. Till you get to that point, you have not known what true ministry is. In death or life, is glorified. Jesus warned us about material riches. Don't be a pan. In one of his humor, he will say, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Not humorous. But for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, that's a warning, a clear caution about material prosperity. Don't let it get to your head. Don't let that be all your pursuit. Watch it. Watch it. When everything you have in your mind is, how can I make, how can I expand it? Multi, eloquent. Whatever. Multiple streams. It's not issue. It's also multiple genre. Multiple streams of income. If that's the only thing you think about, something is definitely wrong. Jesus warned already about it. Say, so you seek the kingdom first. You can pray for the Lord. You also wonder about excuses. We read that earlier. Luke 14 says, one says, I just got married. One says, I just did this. Look at what Jesus has told those ones. In Luke 14, verse 23. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and edges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. For I say unto you, none of those men which you have beaten shall what? Shall taste of my supper. Luke 14, verse 23 to 24. May I not be replaced? May I not be replaced? Jesus said, the weak man will replace them. He says, oh, they are not coming. They are not coming. So go to the highways. Being people.
So I tell you, none of those ones that are sinful will taste after my supper. That can stand for the reward.
What are you doing for the Lord? How are you serving Him?
Is it the first thought in your head in the morning? Is it the last thing you think about at night? How many souls will we want? The discipleship, what's happening? What's happening?
What's my giving? Give me, analyze it. How am I giving to the work? What's my consecration like?
Is it time?
You are not sure.
Jesus warned about that.
Jesus warned about the pleasures that last for a time.
That makes you lose your crown forever.
Pleasures that last for a time.
No matter how long your marriage is, it can't be as long as eternity.
It's a pleasure that will last for a time.
Now you leave.
You're done.
What about the lies lost in those streets?
What about the people that you actually use the world and meant to address it?
How will you tell the Lord?
How will you give that account?
You know what an account is?
You work in the bank. You know what an account is?
Eh?
I can't even tell you.
A detailed explanation of your life. On the 5th of May, where were you? What did you do for the Lord through that time?
Is it right?
I was so good.
I was in my shop.
No, I was talking about you.
As my shop.
On the 6th of June, what did you do for the Lord?
That's a birthday.
Nah, I went to KFC.
No, Jesus knew that was my birthday.
So who you know?
Who gives a hoot about your birthday?
Who gives a hoot?
And this is a follow.
Walk forever.
The limit for him in the nations of the earth.
No, that's not you. You don't exhaust pleasures for time. That's not you.
Many have laid down their lives for this blessing.
See, the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church.
Many have laid down their lives just to get the blessing to us.
They are the seed of the church that we have today.
They are the ones that make it possible for us to hear.
From James to Stephen.
Hallelujah.
To all of the 12, to Paul,
and join the company of the unashamed.
They are men that were unashamed of the gospel.
They will boldly lay down their lives,
they will put down their necks,
they cost whatever we want to cost.
But can you give me 5 minutes to preach?
That was what Stephen did.
He knew they were going to stone him to death.
He said, wait, before you stone,
you heard of Joseph,
you heard of Moses,
you heard of Abraham,
this same Jesus, I see.
Have a rather in the Father.
Highly exalted.
Hallelujah.
Those are the horn of shame.
The copy of the horn of shame.
They will do anything
to make the name of the Lord known in the nations of the earth.
They will do anything
to get gospel across nations, across borders,
to bring a man from darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord.
They will do everything
to get a soul won in Lhasa.
To get men saved,
they will do anything to disciple.
Sometimes they will get knees off work.
No rest.
Because they are unashamed.
Are you ashamed of the gospel?
You neglect the gospel for personal rest?
You neglect the gospel for the pleasures of the moment
that denies you of the crown forever?
Check him out.
Take your heart.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
I'm not ashamed.
I joined them. My ties of old.
They were living stone.
When they shook the world,
John Wesley,
Charles G. Finney,
Charles Paul Jones,
can I pray them? except we and carry on. So who goes on? You have passed me. Is he alive? Hallelujah. Men who preached. Or you will give an excuse. You stand with Paul and say, I followed all these things. I was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There is the power of God and salvation. When you tell Jesus, I did my best. And he said, I saw it. Or when he asked you, why did Dan remain in the ships? Why did he remain in your business? He said he wasn't giving you time. Why did he remain there? You see, my life, all I do for the gospel. The moment you are injuring the gospel, you will give way, not the work. The constant in my life will be the gospel. Whatever gets in the way, will be washed away. Whatever gets in the way, the way I take you my time, you are the one that will go. But this one stays forever. It is my life. It is my calling. It is my company. The company of the unashamed. The one who will proclaim the name of the Lord and his glory in the nations of the earth. The one who will get men saved. The one who will ensure that the prophecy of Habakkuk comes to pass. That surely every man everywhere will know about the glory of the Lord. Every man, every nation, in every tribe, in every tongue. No man will be excused from the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. He will ensure it comes to pass. Right in my lifetime, I will preach the name. I will preach the message. I will show them the way of light. I will show them that Jesus says. I will be the message in my mouth in the morning. It will be what I think of late at night. It will be the heartbeat. Check yourself. Check yourself. As for me, I'm ready to go over here. My hands are strengthened for this cause. My legs are strengthened for this cause. I walk miles and not go tired. I will run and not go weary. I will walk and not faint. My strength is renewed like that of an eagle. I'm strong all month long, all year long, all my life long for this cause. My health is preserved for this cause. Jesus will know. And the entire world will know. I did my best with the gospel of Christ. Then men have made down their lives. Men are still laying down. It's time for you to follow. Follow the path. It's the path of light. This is the way to work in your life. To be a true soldier. For there is no soldier. No true soldier entangles himself with the prince of this world. No. There is stripes that he might pierce he that calls him. But that called him. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. The 3 to 4. I'll pierce he that called me. He will be my delight. It is Jesus that will be my delight. He will be my achievement. He will be my achievement. When they say, what have you achieved? I will point to the lives I have seen. The men that are now preaching the gospel. The people who are now raising up after. I won't point to my PhD. I won't point to my job. I won't point to my career. You will be me. I will point to what I have done from the gospel. Just like Paul. You now say, you are my crown. You are my glory. What's going on in the church? And he says, he was about to die, he said, you are my crown. And then he said, Timothy, my son. And the man, he never married. He said, my son. See what he counted as true paternity. It's where you in the gospel. He has lived his entire life with Jesus at the center. And at the fore. And at the center. We need to look at your convictions again tonight. You need to rebuff them. You need to work on yourself and ask yourself, am I truly living with the gospel first? Like Zebulun and Naphtali, you need to be able to say that come rain, come sunshine. Go up, go under. Sink or swim, but I'm sinking or I'm swimming. I follow the Lord. Now you can do this. When in your house, in season, out of season. When men are following you and when they are not. When my friends, when I see our friends, when I don't see anything. Even if I'm the only one in the nation, I follow the Lord. I will do what it beats me to do, no matter the cost. Think about it. Give it meditation. Just by words to point.